This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at unspectators on Twitter. Okay, welcome to episode 39 of Unsocial Spectators. Hello.
Hey now. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's nice and cool outside. I can leave the back door open. Dogs can come and go. It's nice out.
Yeah, it's only 82 here.
And then I got my back on ice and just relaxing all day.
Oh, that's good. So this week we're going to talk about 1994.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Talk about Clifford.
Yeah, go ahead.
Clifford is a film that shouldn't exist. It is the weirdest movie I've come across. It's in a genre of adults that play kids in films, which you don't see too often anymore. I think like one of the Wayans brothers did one where he was like a child, but his head was put onto like a child's body, like a CGI thing. But this is like full 40-year-old Martin Short dressed as a child, shot as a child so that he looks smaller than Charles Grodin. And it's basically, he's like Dennis the Menace.
Mm-hmm.
But the pitch for the movie was, what if The Bad Seed, the movie The Bad Seed about the evil kid, was just a comedy? And that's how they made this movie. And it is so weird because it is just a kid annoying the fuck out of his uncle. And his uncle trying to show that he is a good parent so that he can get with Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
So he's going through all these hoops to be someone he's not just so he can get laid.
Well, most movies are like that.
And so I've read like the oral history of this over on Vulture because they have a great article on it. David Letterman is a big fan of this movie, and he comments on it, and it sells the movie for me because it's like, this film should not exist, is the way he starts the review. But my favorite story is that Martin Short ran into Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage is a big fan of Clifford, and he even breaks down like one of the scenes of how committed Charles Grodin is to this movie. And just says, like, this is one of the best scenes ever in acting. Just you two going at it. And he's just, like, complimenting Martin Short. Martin Short's just, like, blown away Nicolas Cage's. Because, like, it was right after he won the Oscar, too.
Uh-huh.
he's telling him how much of a great actor he is in Clifford.
Yeah, I saw it the whole way through for the first time this year. So I really enjoy the film.
Yeah, I was weird because on my other podcast, I have a buddy that he just doesn't like Martin Short. And I was like, so like Three Amigas, like the only thing he did say that he did like was him on Arrested Development. But it's like, I don't think he's seen Innerspace. I don't think he's seen his SNL stuff. Like to me, the funniest Martin Short is synchronized swimming sketch on SNL.
Jackie Rogers Jr. is pretty damn good.
Yes. The albino entertainer. That's like a weird voice. Oh my God. Oh, he hated
Ed Grimley.
Ed Grimley. Yeah, he hated that. He hated that guy. And I was like, why do you hate Ed Grimley? Like, I don't know.
You know, Ed Grimley had a cartoon on Saturday morning.
No, it's so weird the shit that gets spun out of stuff that becomes like just kind of peaks in popularity and then nosedives.
Yeah.
Ed Grimley having a Saturday morning cartoon in the 90s.
Yeah, just weird shit. There were so many. We need to have a whole show about Saturday morning cartoons when we get done with movies, you know?
Oh yeah, we have to have Kyle on for that too, because
Yeah.
he is a database of those. But yeah,
Yeah.
Mar Clifford is just, it's a weird fucking movie. And it apparently they had made it in 1990, and it just sat on the shelf for 4 years before they released it. I mean,
Now that is kind of weird.
yeah, it's really weird. But they were like trying to pitch it to the studios. So like in the article I read, they had the test footage because they wanted to show how they were going to shoot Martin, how to show him small, and just show him as this character. And they I think they had a couple of Vimeo links that showed the test footage in that Vulture article if you want to check it out. But it's funny, it's weird. I don't know how to explain, but like I kind of love it
Oh, yeah.
because it's so weird and shouldn't exist. Like, you know, I love that someone said, "Oh, here's a couple of million dollars, go make this movie."
It's a pretty good. I was surprised how good it was because I had only seen a couple of scenes, you know,
Yeah.
that I remember. But so I want to talk about In the Mouth of Madness.
Oh boy, here we go.
It's just one of the weirdest Carpenter films.
It is the weirdest Carpenter film. I
Yeah.
can't think of anything close to as weird as this movie is.
I mean, it's just Sam Neill is perfection.
Yeah.
Now I finally saw what was that film the other day? That space movie he did.
Event Horizon.
And they're very similar,
Very similar.
the character.
It's like cosmic horror, you know. What would you say? The guy who created Cthulhu, what's his name?
I just saw a movie about with this stuff in it. I saw
H.P. Lovecraft.
I saw From Beyond yesterday.
Oh yeah, I've seen that pop up in my feed, so it must be floating around on some streaming services.
It's on Tubi.
Oh, okay.
Everything is on Tubi these days.
It
That
is.
it's amazing, all the horror films that are on that for free on that service.
Yeah, I want to say though, I think that they run the longest commercials though. They'll run like nine commercials between.
Roku runs a lot of commercials
That's
too,
true.
so.
Yeah, I've been trying to see which one, because like some of them, like early on in some of the free streaming services, you would get like the same commercial nine
Over and
times.
over again, it was crazy.
Now I think
But
they've found a market for it because you get at least different ones. But the thing I love about Tubi doesn't run drug commercials, and Hulu runs the fuck out of drug commercials, and I hate that. So,
Look, I grew up with commercials. They don't bother me when there's gonna have a Netflix ad supported. I'm there, you know. Hulu, I pay for the cheap plan for the commercial. I don't care.
yeah.
I'm used to them. I think all the Gen Z kids are just like, I'm not watching a commercial. It's like, okay, go right. Go ahead and pay for it. That's fine by me.
Yeah, Hulu
But
also runs a lot of political ads too. So I like hate like I try if I'm gonna watch commercials, I don't mind watching a commercial that's for something, but I don't want to watch commercials for drugs. I don't want to watch commercials for politicians. I don't want to see. Yeah, it's just like Hulu seems to get heavy with that shit.
I just hit the mute button. It doesn't bother me, so whatever. But In the Mouth of Madness, Sam Neill is fucking amazing. I like the fact that it's kind of a stab at Stephen King.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you definitely need to see it. It's a really good film.
I haven't seen it, I think, since it came out. It was because it was a John Carpenter, I was like all in, but it was too fucking out there for me. Like, too intense and shit. I don't know. Like,
it's definitely out there.
Yeah, because it's like, I like Carpenter's films for like the isolation and fear that he seems to know how to do. But on this level of cosmic horror, it's just fucked up. Like, I don't know why it bothers me so much.
Yeah, it is pretty fucked up, but I think it might be my favorite Carpenter film, just underneath Halloween.
Oh, okay.
You know, but like Halloween, then In the Mouth of Madness, you know. And, you know, then The Thing, and then, you know, it goes down from there, so...
Oh, but give me The Fog, Halloween, and
Assault on Precinct.
Assault on Precinct 13. Yeah, that's right. I forget about that one because I always go, oh, yeah, that's John Carpenter. I just love that movie. It's just like, it doesn't say John Carpenter in front of it, like all his other
Right.
But I've got all my steelbooks over here that have all, I think I have almost all of his films in steelbook form.
Oh, okay. What else have you been watching? I've been watching all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I saw your feed. It's like all over the place, but I use CLZ to like track all my DVDs and stuff. And so like I sent you screenshots of like everything I owned from 1994. And so I watched two other movies, Reality Bites and Pulp Fiction. I also own Leon the Professional from that year. But I just wasn't in the mood to go into that one because it's like, it's a good uncut version that's like 24 minutes longer, but it has this weird scene with Natalie Portman, and this is like her first movie, and she's like a young kid, and Leon takes her to dinner, and she gets drunk, and there's this like overt sexual theme that happens during that scene that is just so uncomfortable, and to me kind of ruins the movie.
Sure,
because they don't have that interaction. Like it's to me, their relationship's one of security.
That's probably why they cut that scene, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And like she sings, I think she sings to him in one scene, like Marilyn Monroe. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. I mean, I love that movie, but the uncut version, that's a tough watch. And Gary Oldman, man, is so fucking great in that movie. Like, that, to me, just fucking rocks.
So, I watched The Bounty for the first time in years.
Oh, yeah.
What a cast.
I'm going to have to look this one up. I don't...
Mel Gibson. You've got Hopkins...
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins, Liam Neeson,
Laurence Olivier, Neeson, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Jesus Christ.
Man. I mean, that is, how many Oscar winners are in that cast?
Tanked at the box office.
Oh, yeah, it did. It didn't do good, but it was all over HBO back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But I hadn't watched it since. I was amazed. It's really good.
You know, I'm looking at it going, I don't think I've seen this. It's got a Vangelis soundtrack.
Yeah, it's great. It's free, I think, on Tubi. So definitely check it out.
Tubi, we will be soliciting you for commercial money.
Oh, yeah.
Keep talking about you.
Yeah, if Tubi wants to advertise here, they can. And I watched for the first time The Man Who Wasn't There.
Oh, yeah, the Coen Brothers movie?
Yeah, Coen Brothers. Now, it's a good film. It has Frances McDormand as what in that one too. She has done 9 Coen Brothers movies.
Well, I mean, they go perfectly together, for God's sakes. Fargo is, I think, probably the perfect example.
She was in The Man That Wasn't There, Fargo, Burn After Reading, The Tragedy of Macbeth, Hail Caesar, Raising Arizona. She's a voice in Barton Fink.
Damn.
She's in Blood Simple. She's in Miller's Crossing as a mayor's secretary. They both the Coens and her have made each other's career, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of crazy.
What's interesting, though, is didn't she win the Academy Award for Nomadland?
Yeah, she was great in that.
Yeah, and I was like, man, she did all this Coen Brothers stuff, and she goes and does her own thing and wins an Oscar.
Yeah, she was pretty fantastic in that film. Have you seen that, Nomadland?
No, I don't know why. I've just been kind of turned off by the previews and stuff of it, but
No, it's good. I can send you a copy if you're interested.
Okay.
Did you hear they're doing a Starship Troopers reboot?
They always are. They think that that's a franchise. They don't understand it's a parody.
Of course. That's the weirdest
part is they're like, there's just so much fucking action and killing and it's so cool. And it's like, that's not what the story's about.
Yeah, it's hilarious. But so they're doing that, you know. So did you see Werewolf by Night?
Yes, and I fucking loved it.
Really good.
It was so goddamn good, man. And I'm a huge fan of Man Thing, the creature that shows up in it. So I was super hyped to see that. And then to see how he was going to interact because they've done a Man Thing movie before.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah. Kyle said you were watching it. And I was
No, I wasn't watching it, but they have it on Tubi. Should I watch it?
No, it's not good.
Okay.
In fact, I think. The company that bought it meant for it to be a Sci-Fi Channel movie. So it was not even going to be released in theaters. I'm pretty sure that was the distribution for it was going to be television. But yeah, it's not good. It's done. It's done like horror, but it's like the Man Thing is kind of an element in the background and not so much of the story. And they don't really give an origin story to him, which is just that he was a scientist who got a copy of the super soldier serum that made Captain America. So he's trying to make one. And in doing so, he's going to do a deal with this company called AIM, which is in Iron Man 3. So he's going to sell them the serum and get paid for it. And then his wife backstabs him and sells the serum and kills him, or is going to kill him. So she hooks up with the AIM guys. He takes off running with the serum, crashes in his car. And so to try to survive, he just injects it into himself while he's in the swamp and becomes Man Thing.
Oh, okay. Well. Well, I won't watch it then. I won't bother.
I'm curious to see someone's perspective of watching it, knowing as little as, you know.
Okay, I'll watch it. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. So I watched this film called Nerve.
Nerve.
It's from 1996. And it's really Emma Roberts, I think, is in it.
96?
Or no, 2016. Oh,
yeah. It's Dave Franco and Emma Roberts. Yeah, I've seen this.
Pretty weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's kind of cool. Like, yeah. It has a weird premise that it's like social media drives people to do things.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Emma Roberts, even though, like, I loved her in American Horror Story and stuff. So I don't know why I just, like, her and Dave Franco, to me, they're like, oh, they're just more celebrity relatives.
Yeah, exactly. but I thought it was pretty good. So, I saw for the first time It Follows.
Ooh, that's good.
Really good, fucking great horror film, man.
And great camera work. The camera work is what makes that movie.
Yeah. I had a good time seeing that for the first time. That was really cool stuff. Then I've been watching some weird shit. I watched Winchester for the first time.
I'm trying to remember who stars in that.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah, and it's about the house that she had built.
Yeah, pretty good. I've been in that house, you know.
Oh, really? How'd you end up there?
It's in Frisco.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know it was in Frisco. Yeah, they have tours.
Oh, fuck. Well,
yeah.
Now I need to go.
Yeah. I watched Slumber Party Massacre for the first time.
Is that the one with Crystal Bernard in it?
This is from like, what, 82 or something like that? Yeah.
She's in one of the sequels.
Yeah, I don't think she's in the first one. I didn't recognize her.
No, she's not. I just pulled up the... Oh, man.
But,
and it's directed by a woman, too.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun. And for the first time, I saw American History X.
Oh, wow.
Really awesome. Awesome movie.
I can't bring myself to watch that.
It's good, man. Really, it's just good.
The violence and the hatred. I know it all kind of comes to a point at the end, but
sure. Yeah, but it's definitely a great film, you know. I mean, if you can watch Nazi movies, you can watch this, you know.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Criterion Channel is doing 80s horror. They have a bunch of 80s horror. So I saw Cat People.
Okay.
Near Dark.
Near Dark's great.
The Keep.
Oh, fuck. I have not seen The Keep in a long time.
Yeah, that was pretty damn good. And, they just have a whole bunch of really good, Slumber Party Massacre is part of the 80s horror too. Just really good stuff. And also I watched for the first time Chopping Mall.
Oh, I love Chopping Mall. That has like some of my favorite horror people in there.
Thank you for shopping.
Nerdy Ferdy, who's just an icon of horror. And that has, I'm trying to remember her name, Kelly...
And Maroney.
Maroney, yes. I love her.
She's great in Nine of the Comet.
Yes, that's one of my favorite films. And then it also has Barbara... Barbara's last name.
She was in From Beyond too.
She did a lot of stuff with Jeffrey Gordon Green and man, I'm just drawing a blank. I'm going to have to look her up because that's bugging me.
No, that's cool. But yeah, I've been watching a bunch of horror films because it's Shocktober.
Barbara Crampton.
That's right.
Yeah, that movie was originally called Killbots.
Oh, really?
And the whole movie was based on the fact that they had this mall that they could film it, which was used for like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, like that. Like if you look at some of the shots in that movie, you'll recognize the mall.
No, that was a mall that I used to go to when I was a kid.
Oh wow, cool.
Yeah, that was my mall. You know, when I lived in L.A. I watched Twilight Zone the movie. I hadn't seen that in years.
Oh wow, man!
Just great, you know, just great.
I know. I do love that movie. I mean, John Lithgow, and doing he does the William Shatner episode
in
that movie, and he does it fucking so great. It's so good. Now I know that they've redone it a third time with Adam Scott, and I haven't seen that yet.
No, I haven't seen it either. But yeah, that was a lot of fun to see. Now, I watched Inland Empire for the first time. The David Lynch film.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What the hell did I watch?
That's what everyone says.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but it just crazy fucking film, man.
Very.
Now, another crazy film I watch, Tetsuo the Iron Man. Wow. Yes. What was that?
I know, dude. That, like, I've tried to watch that multiple times, and I just can't get through it. It is so fucked up and weird.
Weird as hell, man. Just fucking crazy. But, I mean, I like weird shit, and I cannot lie, you know? So, what'd you think of She-Hulk?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, you know, it's so weird to see, like, a character, Daredevil, who's in a serious action film that's just dark and brooding all the time, to see him smiling and laughing.
Yeah, and doing the walk of shame.
Doing the walk of shame. That was so great. Oh man, that show is better than it should be.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that you're like excited when tomorrow I get to watch She-Hulk, you know?
Yeah, and being a big Howard the Duck fan, I'm like looking forward to seeing Howard the Duck either show up in She-Hulk because he's a regular in her book sometimes. Or Man-Thing, because he showed up in the Halloween special. That's how Howard the Duck actually got introduced into the Marvel Universe, was through Man-Thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because Man-Thing guards a nexus of all realities that is the multiverse. So to go to multiverses, you have to cross paths with him.
Huh. Okay. Now, I watched... For the first time, I started watching Firefly.
Oh, okay. It's weird because the shows actually sometimes are in order or sometimes out of order, depending on how you watched them. Do you know the order you watched them in?
I'm watching it's called not Serenity the movie, but Serenity the TV beginning.
Oh, yeah, Firefly.
Yeah, the Firefly Serenity episode is like an hour and a half. And I have the list of how to watch it, you know. So.
Okay, cool.
And I have Serenity the film on my Plex server. So I think I'm watching in the right... Oh, I checked first.
Yeah.
So
the series is great and fun, has a lot of people that show up in it that haven't broken out yet. And then the movie I love. I think the movie's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about starting that. I needed something else in my TV show rotation.
Yeah. And at times, man, that show gets pretty dark, so it's a good Halloween pick.
Oh, well, that's cool. I'm going to be watching a ton more Halloween. What else did you see?
Well, I watched Night of the Living Dead, which is pretty much free streaming on everything, because that's a movie where the copyright was never filed for it.
Yeah.
So it's always been in the public domain.
Yeah, it's public domain.
And then I couldn't find the original Romero Dawn of the Dead, so I watched the remake, the Zack Snyder, James Gunn script, Dawn of the Dead.
The original Dawn of the Dead is free on YouTube.
That's right. You did send me a link.
Yeah, I sent you a link to it.
That's right. Well, I was fumbling around through my Roku doing a search and couldn't find it. So I was just like, okay, well, I love the remake. Like it doesn't have like all the social commentary as much, but I feel like it kind of does in some way, because it's weird that like in the end, these people still end up at a mall.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, you know they kind of devolve into like celebrity assassinations, which as a game, which is kind of fun because all the celebrities have become zombies, and so they have a guy who's at another building, and they would just hold up a name of the celebrity, and he'd have to pick them off out of the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was kind of fun, but the first one was the first zombie movie I ever saw. Yeah. I watched it at the midnight movie in Forum 303 Mall.
Whoa.
Like in 1981 or 82 or something like that.
Man, I missed that mall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was a good time.
I also revisited Deadpool 2. Like,
oh, okay.
There, you know, those movies are really good and fun, but there was a time like I really was a big Deadpool fan, and then the movies came out and it seemed to introduce every asshole who wanted to be like the star of their own, you know, show
right,
to dress up as Deadpool and go to every convention. And they're just fucking assholes. They just think they're the star of the show every time because they're dressed up as Deadpool.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we would have, you know, when I was working cons and doing stuff, we would have a bit where we would like round up Deadpools and just have like an insane moment where they would all like crash the stage, because you could just get them to do anything.
Right.
But the hard part is just getting them to go away. Like, because they think, oh, well, they laughed at me, I'll just keep going.
Right.
It's like, no, they're not laughing at you. Please stop.
Yeah.
But I do love Deadpool 2. That just has so many great gags and stuff. Like, I mean, Brad Pitt playing his first superhero and you don't see him until he dies. That's a funny gag.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I enjoyed that film.
But man, it was really cool rewatching Pulp Fiction again. Like,
oh yeah. Great, I mean, film, man.
It's so fucking good. And I just, you know, like I remember being in the theater watching that. And that was at Vista Ridge Mall in Louisville. And just going, this is different than anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah, I saw it in a Colin Creek mall back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, I was bowled the fuck over. I mean, first of all, I'm like going, okay, I've seen Bruce Willis do Hudson Hawk. What the fuck is this Pulp Fiction going to be? And it's just like, he doesn't even show up for a while. Well, I mean, at the beginning, he's there so that they set up the boxer stuff that you don't get to until like the right, third or fourth story later. But what do you think about like what is in the suitcase?
The Oscar.
The Oscar.
Right. I totally yeah, think it's either the Oscar or the alien from Repo Man.
You don't think it's the soul of Marcellus Wallace?
No.
Okay. That's always been the rumor.
Yeah, that, yeah, the Band-Aid bullshit, but no, it's the Oscar.
What? I mean, that movie is so fucking quotable. I mean, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, God, so much shit has stand the test of time, and that was parodied for a long fucking time.
Oh yeah.
Like, how many times did you see people dressed as like Travolta and Jackson? You know, right. Doing the gangster guys, the gimp bit. I mean, even a few years ago in Community, they had an episode where they were celebrating Abed's birthday, so everyone dressed as someone from his favorite movie, and it was Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And Chevy Chase dressed as the Gimp.
Well, not too far off there.
Yeah. But, man, I just love Pulp Fiction. It's just so fucking good. It still brought back, like, you know, just the level of commitment to the story, like how it just folds in on itself and mm-hmm. just, and really you're just watching Samuel L. Jackson's character do his last job and retire. I mean, that's essentially kind of what we're seeing with right. all the other stories wrapped into it. But when Bruce Willis gets, kidnapped or gets taken by the pawn shop guys and he gets out and then he stops at that door and he turns around, that's the one time in the theater I just screamed no. Like, don't go back. And he goes back with the sword and he puts his hand on the door. You see his left hand go on the door and I go, I don't want to know what's happening inside. I just remember being in the theater going, I don't want to know what's going to happen inside.
Right.
And just being fucking terrified of it. And then just going into it going, oh, fuck. Oh, God. And then, like, oh. What was the Gimp? Debating what the Gimp was with other people who had seen the movie. Oh, that was just fucked up.
Anything else this week?
Yeah, I revisited Reality Bites, you know, the Gen X, I would say rom-com, you know. I mean, this was a film that really was like, this is about Generation X, even though they don't use the term. It's a person who is filming a very real world type show before real world started happening.
Right.
And so she's doing a documentary about her friends and then going to sell it to this guy who works at an MTV like place.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, really? Okay. You know, it's weird because like when I saw it as a kid, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. These are like the people of my generation and what they're going through and stuff. And fantastic cast. I mean, it's just a fucking home run of people. I just am trying to, it's weird because I've watched it so many times. I've been a fan of this movie, but as I've gotten older, my views on it have changed. So I watched, I have the 10th anniversary edition. So it came out in like 2004 that had the commentary track with the writer who's from like Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And Ben Stiller, who this was his first, directed movie, talk about it. And it's interesting because as they get older, they don't agree with like who the choice of the couple that ends up together at the end, because they're like, it seems like a young, dumb choice to go with the person that the girl chooses. So it's funny to see them kind of just go, oh, yeah, that she shouldn't have done that. but yeah, it's just dealing with the shit of our time. You know, it was like coming out of college and I was working at Gap Kids at the time. Like I had gotten a job at Gap Kids in the stock room working there. And so I related on some level of like having to just work shit jobs to try to keep money in your pocket.
Sure.
And there was nothing in the 90s. I mean, it was just a shit show coming out in the 80s. There were so few jobs out there. But it's so weird because that movie came out in 94 and Peacock already has people working on a series for it now.
Wow.
So it's like, yeah. And I'm going, oh, you're going to revisit the 90s with a group of 20 somethings. I mean, aren't you essentially doing Friends again? I mean, is that
exactly?
that's what it is. I mean, I mean, if you're going to take that angle, then that's also like what that other that 70s show is about to be redone as that 90s show. You know, we're just getting back into the nostalgia of things.
Yeah, they just keep doing it over and over again. I mean, they'll keep it. There'll be a 2000 show and a, you know.
I don't think there'll be a 2000 show. How can you go? That was a real shitty time. Like, I just don't think there was much good about that time period. I mean, that post 9/11 world was not fun. It was shitty entertainment. It was a shitty world. I don't see anyone getting nostalgic about it, but I guess some people grew up in it, so they get nostalgic about it as kids.
You're not going to get nostalgic about it. You'll be dead.
Yeah. yeah, that was not a fun time period for me anyway.
So next week, we're going to talk about 1995. And I'm going to take The Usual Suspects.
Okay, good. That is one film I do own. I sent you a list of like all the movies I own.
Yeah.
So you could see, like, because as I pulled them up, Shelby was going, how do you not own Mallrats and Billy Madison and Clueless and Tommy Boy? Because those are all like home runs. So she's actually going to try to bring all those home.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to watch those. But I think for sure, I mean, you want to go Die Hard with a Vengeance. Twelve Monkeys.
Oh, the good pick.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruce Willis, and probably the best Brad Pitt movie. I mean, his crazy in that movie is just on another level, and it's fucking great.
Yeah, it's great. Bullet Train's really good, too.
I know, I need to see that. And then did you see the people who did Bullet Train and Nobody are putting a Christmas movie out?
What is it? Deadly Night?
Deadly Night.
Yeah, it looks good.
Oh, that fucking trailer looked fantastic. And I love David Harbour. So yeah. I was like, so Santa is just, it's literally really Die Hard at Christmas. It is John McClane as Santa Claus.
Yeah, but that'll be a lot of fun. So, okay, we'll see everyone next week.
See ya.